Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
And today's podcast is titled Optimized Marketing with C.F. Jackson, who was here Monday. She was here Monday for 2 hours, and she's back today for at least 29 more minutes, or thereabouts. This is 10:36 now. 619-768-2945, and I'm going to let, now, if you're on Blog Talk, radio in our scrolling marquee thing, I have a description of C.F. Jackson and what she does and what she's done. But she's here right now, so we're going to talk about optimized marketing using television. Good morning, C.F.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having me back today. I'm looking forward to the conversation. It was great on Monday. I'm sure it's going to be extraordinary today as well. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, thank you for coming back. Well, for the people that are tuning in today that weren't here Monday and didn't listen to the archives yet, let's start off with who is C.F. Jackson?
Sure. Pretty much in a nutshell, C.F. Jackson, at some point, we got into entrepreneurship, discovered that this new technology that we currently have in terms of helping entrepreneurs, small business owners, those who have an creative industry to hone in, to take their gifts and talents, to validate who they are, their products and services, and reach a mass, the masses. Like you guys in television, what we thought at one point as children that we couldn't afford it, it was only for the super rich and wealthy. And with the new technology now, you may be familiar with such devices as Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire Stick, these have allowed the playing field to be level. So we help entrepreneurs to reach a demographic of people locally, national, and international by displaying and distributing their content on such a device. And we use Roku, and our platform is iDefineTV.com. So if you're independent and want to stream it on iDefineTV, you can do it, as well as helping individuals to create their own channel on such a device. Because you no longer, like you say in your introduction of your show, that you don't have to wait for a massive amount of money to create your platform, to create your voice, to tell your story, and tell your messages, because this platform allows you to do it. And what we're here to do to help individuals to do just that, utilizing Roku and the likes, and who iDefineTV.com does. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, sorry, I had myself muted. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. And I was talking to you also, but let me ask that question then. Some of the programs that are already on, are they documentaries, how-to, comedies, dramas, or all of the above?
All of the above. On such a device, we have on iDefineTV, we have independent music artists as far as Sweden, of course, United States, UK. We have documentaries from anything centered around Jackie Robinson to segregation to comedy programming. We have old TV shows. We have health and wellness and fitness, business, anything like that. But on the device itself is a conglomerate of a lot of things. You have anything from iDefineTV to independent to major networks like ABC, HBO, and the like. Anything from comedy, fitness, health and wellness, religion, shopping, travel, music. Pretty much you name it, if you see it on traditional television, you can find it on the Roku device. It's really that, it's just that easy.
Okay, so now if we wanted to let's say, develop our own niche market channel, Mm-hmm. Let's say if we wanted to have a channel 24/7 that's dedicated towards the topic, and I would say even diversified topic of gentrification, we can do that.
Yes, you can.
Boy. I'm all for this. now, it, yeah, because there's a lot of information that, I'll give an example. I don't think Court TV is on the air anymore. I don't believe it is. But, I know they were red hot during the O.J. Simpson trial. I mean, the first one. But, like, for instance, in a local market, and speaking of gentrification, a lot of your towns that might have a black newspaper, well, you know what, let me get specific. In Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. has maybe two black newspapers. They have the Afro, they have the Informer. Those are the only two I know about. Now, they used to have more than that. Mm-hmm. Those are black newspapers that came out typically once a week.
Right.
But in Washington, D.C., in some places has become gentrified, or the entire city, what's left of it, well, 20 years ago, D.C. was polarized anyway. The majority of whites lived on the west side of town, mm-hmm. and the majority of blacks lived on the east side of town. Now, mm-hmm. white folks are everywhere. And a lot of black folks are moving up. So, mm-hmm. what I've noticed is this. A lot of information that you can spot trends that would come out, that could possibly come out in the newspaper or any kind of news outlet, that information wasn't circulating, in my opinion, in the black community in Washington, D.C. For instance, like in the two black newspapers, you might see there's maybe a two or three pages of ads for pastors in their churches. You know, they take out this little ad. And then they'll bring out, you know, some community or human interest story that happens in one of those neighborhoods or communities. But you wouldn't get any information or any news and information mm-hmm. what's happening in the court system, you know. And I'm not talking about criminal court. I'm talking about civil court, housing court, you know, what's happening with zoning, you know, building code mm-hmm. enforcement and all that. Because what's coming out of those agencies and courts, you can see where – like, in other words, where code enforcement is concentrating on, that, I'll give you an example. North Florida, North Tampa,
mm-hmm.
Some years ago, they set up a housing court, appointed a black judge, and North Tampa at that time used to be mostly black. It ain't no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because through housing court, which is nothing but another name for code enforcement court, they came in with rigid enforcement, and a lot of people moved out. Some people lost property and fines and all this, that, and other. And that information was not in any black news outlet in the Tampa Bay area. Same thing with Washington, D.C. The newspaper, for whatever reason, did not cover that information. So if there was, even the black radio stations in Washington, D.C. did not cover what was happening in the local court systems, because you got bankruptcy court, you got housing court, got landlord-tenant court, and all those courts have news, but there was no reporters covering those assigned to those particular agencies in D.C. The closest I've seen to it was Court TV, but that was more of a national thing. So, and a lot of things that was happening in those agencies and courts were affecting where people lived. So that's, you know, and if you don't have the information on what's going on in that community, then, you know, there's no way you can get ahead of it or stop it or whatever else like that. So when I gave out the example of putting together a cable channel solely dedicated towards various topics on gentrification, because there's a lot to cover when you talk about gentrification. That's what I'm thinking about with, I mean, you can dedicate it to one particular specific market, or you can cover nationwide what's going on, because white neighborhoods get gentrified too. A lot of people don't know this. More white neighborhoods get gentrified than black ones. But you rarely hear about this on the 6 o'clock news or the 11 o'clock news or midday news or whatever. So that's one of the possibilities I was thinking about with Roku. So now let's say we've got that concept, gentrification news, for lack of a better term, GN news, and we want to we want to organize a channel. The cost to getting in would be a ballpark figure of about what?
They range from, you start at $3,500 a month, and that gives you the ability to broadcast, again, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to all the actual Roku users around the country, around the globe. Right now, there's probably 27 monthly active users here in the United States. In 2018, they streamed over 24 billion hours of content last year. So the simple way it's doing that, and once you, that's my train of thought there. But pretty much you can do whatever you want, reaching a whole demographic of individuals, have the content and place it. We can place it for you across the country and around the world.
Okay, you got about 27 million viewers monthly on Roku right now?
Yes. They're the most active users out of all the different platforms out there. They're the most popular one in the country. Most popular one in the country.
Okay. All right. Because a lot of people don't realize this on the available mainstream news outlets, we don't even see 1%. I would even say there's so much news out there that not even 1% or 1% actually gets broadcast or on the air. Because there's so much, there's a lot of news out there. So there's only so much you can put out in a 30-minute broadcast, and then with a 30-minute broadcast, about probably 8 minutes of that is for commercials. So you're talking about maybe 22 minutes. So there's a whole lot that, and I'm just talking about on a local level. And then they chop that up. I mean, they usually leave with national news or whatever's happening hot locally. That's only a few minutes for that. Then you got sports, you got weather, and then that's it.
And they repeat it. They come back and they repeat it. They repeat it after every 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 11 o'clock news.
Right.
It's a repeat of everything.
Exactly. So, right. So the whole day basically is just a rehash of that 22 minutes. So there's a lot more stuff going on. Like just going back to this concept of gentrification news. You know, you can do a variety of shows on how it happens. You can do dramatic shows on to illustrate the point. You can do docuseries. I mean, guys, you can have a special newscast just on some aspects of gentrification. But, So I'm also looking at Bob Johnson when he started BET. He was only on, it wasn't a whole lot of hours. Something like 4 hours a day. That was it. when he started Black Entertainment Television. So, which leads me to my next question. Now, with you have different levels you can come in at, so could you explain that?
Yeah, so if someone's independent, may not have a whole bunch of content. They may be someone who wanted to say, okay, I have a music video, or I want to give it a test. You can come in at a single play, and a single play starts as little as $99.95, and it gives you the ability to air that content for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 30 days. But then you may be someone who may have a little bit more content that you want to deliver more, you want to reach more. And with that idea, you want to have more content because the more you deliver and more consistently with anything, it gives you more branding, more reach, and people come to know, like, and trust you. So you can come in at a basic level that gives you more videos to air on a monthly basis. And then it gives you ability to get a little bit more exposure, help you with some social media marketing and things like that. You can come in as little as $99 for 30 days. Or you can come in at a price point of a starter at $199 per month. Or you can go as far as, and it'll give you three videos, and you add those three videos. And our minimum that we require, because we look at people sitting in front of their television. We're not thinking about a YouTube or some Snapchat thing. We're looking at actual content. We suggest that you create, and we on our channel, we require that you have content that's at least 10 to 15 minutes of content where you're providing a problem that you're wanting to connect with. What problem that most people have when they look at you or need your services? Provide a solution to that problem, right? So now if people sit down and say, okay, for example, you may be a chiropractor, and most people may have a problem with a dislocated shoulder or something. And they say, well, the problem is maybe this or this or that. And you give this why this problem could occur. And then people may sit down and say, well, I do. I know Ted. I know Tom. I know myself. I know, you know, Michelle, somebody. And they sit down, now they see there's a problem. You provide a solution. And then at the end of that content, you provide them how to get in contact with you. So we want you to create your segment of information, if you're a professional, an expert, of how they can really get to know who you are and create that content and create it over a series of time. And you can do that starting out with our starter, or you can go as far as our premium. Premium gives you 24 videos. You can broadcast those and get that and have a series of videos coming out and spotlight and feature what you do. Depends on what your business model again. And then if you want your own, again, it's with enterprise. That can start as little as $3,500 a month with a setup cost. And that gives you ability to brand it the way you want. Now, at this point, you have your own channel. You're branding it. You can monetize it the way you want. You can get your own advertisers and sponsors. You can do whatever you want, how you want to do it, and there is no requirements for what you want to do with your channel. Only thing you have to do is make sure that it meets the requirements of Roku. But outside of that, you have anything from $99.95 upwards and towards starting at $3,500 or more to get your message to an actual local, national, international market of people on television where where they say 44% of them have an annual income of $75,000 or more per year. That's disposable income to where if you're an expert or you want them to participate, partner, or do something with you, they have disposable income to be to work with you. So that's something totally different compared sometimes to dealing with people just solely on the Internet, kind of way, like you said, Monday, having eyes and ears on all platforms to keep your mission and your movement moving forward.
Okay. So now repeat you can come in as low as what, $19.95 a month?
$99.95.
Mm-hmm. Now,
yeah.
Does that include any setup fees with that?
A setup fee is $15.
$15 already. Mm-hmm. Less than $150. And you're allowed to do, now you can do one video for that.
Right, it's one video and they broadcast. That's one off. That's like a single play, one off. There's no commitment to that. You just say, okay, I want to air a video for 30 days. It airs on nonstop. And we'll line it up with one of our channels within our Define TV. Again, we have anything from health and wellness, fitness. We have business and things like that, and we'll put it on one of our channels that's within our Define TV network.
Okay. Oh, all right. One of the channels. All right. And like you said, mm-hmm. if you want your own channel, you just mm-hmm. that's possible too. which I guess that would be the goal of some people, depending on their business model. But that's quite a bit of time to cover, though, for every hour in the month.
Well, now you think about it, this is not traditional television, and it has influenced most people. You don't have to, your goal is not to be, it's not like traditional television. You got to have content for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is all on demand. So it's on demand. You don't have to have people come in at their leisure. It's not streaming. You can have it streaming, but we suggest to have it where people can come in and you have your content available to them to, like Netflix or Hulu, or you go in there and you have categories and they can see what they want to watch. So, for example, you want to have the gentrification news channel. You have the overall channel is that, but then you have channels within your the alcohol network. You can have gentrification surrounding Virginia. You can have a channel surrounding New York, whatever it may be, and it's content that's waiting for them to choose and select at their leisure. So it doesn't have to be streaming nonstop, because at that point you think of traditional. This is so much better because you're not trying to fill airwaves. This is on demand. You just have it. You have content. You broadcast. You capture content. You upload it to us. We get it, put it on your channel, and then it's airing across and available to the viewers whenever they want to at their leisure. They can pause it, come back to it when they want to. They can start from the beginning. They can fast forward through it. They can do whatever they want. It's not a set time that they got to, I missed the 2 o'clock. No, they can come right then and there and watch it and pick up where they left off. And one thing that you said to me, LA, as well, if someone has a tip, for example, somebody has a Roku device, they can take it from one room to another room and still have that same channel, same show they were looking at beforehand, and it's still been in that same place. They can take it from one city to another city, as long as they got Wi-Fi and a TV connection. They plug it in, and the same thing they had before playing, and they can pick up where they left off before. So it's like a plug-and-play type of platform.
Okay. Now, you've got about, two or three minutes left before you have to go. How can people get in touch with you for this?
You can find me at idefinetv.com. That's www.idefinetv.com. And you can find a plethora of information, content information, any questions or anything like that, please let us know. We can definitely help. And I can squeeze in like another 10 minutes with you if that's okay, if you have something else. So I definitely do that.
I'm on the website right now, idefinetv. You mentioned something the other day that I didn't know. Sling TV used to be DirecTV. So you know what happened? I mean, why did they go from DirecTV to Sling? I mean, convert to Sling.
Oh, it was Dish. Dish TV, because if you think about Dish switched over because, how can I say it, streaming TV is where it is. I mean, think about it. Dish had the big old Dish outside the home. They were having problems out the gate anyway, whenever there's storms, heavy winds, people were having problems with the Dish networks not working. And they recognized, and most people don't know, kind of give you some back information, people look at Netflix as this major conglomerate that has just kind of sprouted up. But no one thinks about how did Netflix really become this beast. Well, first and foremost, Roku and Netflix was the first content provider on Roku. So Netflix had been streaming on Roku since like 2008. So it had already been in homes across this device for years. So they had been streaming on this device then, of course, it got on different technology phones and computers. But that's the same. So it's been streaming. So the Dish Network recognizing that streaming was where it is. They weren't getting as many sales and getting as much exposure because they were having problems with costing them more. This way now, we got people think about it. You didn't see a dish ad in years, but you see it was slinging it. They were slinging TV. And it's not costing nowhere near of going and trying to go out and install a dish on top of somebody's house and getting complaints and not having the coverage that they needed. But now you have Sling is now Dish. Yeah, Dish is now Sling. Go the other way, yeah.
Not
so I mean, think about it. And a lot of people are doing like Walmart has their own streaming channel. ESPN is coming out with their own. Give another insight. So with cable, and you said cable is made up of people paying a subscription fee, And ESPN is one of the most highest paid networks on the actual subscription model. I think they earn like maybe, I think is it $9 or something like that? I can't remember the number, like $9 or something like that per subscriber. Well, now people are with you on Monday cord cutters. So cord cutters are cutting cable. They are no longer watching cable because they're utilizing such devices as Roku to digest and consume their content. Well, now that people are not, and it doesn't matter if you watch ESPN or not, they're going to get a cut of that subscription dollar. But people are cutting the cord, so now ESPN is losing a lot of the money because people are not subscribing at the level they were. So what does that mean for ESPN? They have to go out now and what? They're creating their own type of streaming platform. Walt Disney is creating their own streaming platform. It's all about streaming right now. And that's what I'm saying. We thought at a point of time, and it was always related to me in that way, that you had to be super rich and wealthy. You did. But now that's no longer the reality anymore with these devices. And right now, as you say, the money is not heavily regulated right now. And this is the time to get in before it becomes overly to the point where something may go awry and, you know, it gets overly saturated and then here comes the hammer and you can't get in. If you got to get in, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg and you can't afford it. And most times people get behind it when it's time to get in it, they behind the eight ball because they never heard of it or don't do their due diligence to do some research to get into it. And when they want to get into it, they're paying at a higher price point or they can't get in it at all. So right now you got your HBO. When I saw HBO was on here, who would have thought 5, 10, 15, 30 years ago you could watch HBO without requiring to have a cable provider? That I knew then this was a serious game to be in because HBO, Stars, and Showtime, now allow you to do a la carte. So when would you thought you could do cable a la carte? That was never a thought. But now you got cable a la carte and not having to have an Xfinity or Charter or whatever you have in your area. You can do what you want now, and this is the game is where it's being played right now on streaming these devices like Roku and Apple TV and the like.
What about I was just reading something the other day. Minister Louis Farrakhan was banned from him and Alex Jones and some others were banned from Facebook.
Yeah.
And then somebody was talking about their what do they call it? Private channels. It's private something. I don't know if it's channels.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as far as this goes, now Roku has its requirements. So, what do you know about? I mean, do they have any? What are their basic general guideline rules on? For, you know, getting on?
Pretty much it's really, you have to have a medium to get there. So, for example, I have a developer who has, it's not really, everyone's independent. It's really interesting. It's like a puzzle or it's like a corn, it's just like a horn on the cob. Every kernel is plugged into this main cob. So everyone is independent. You got to have where either you can go through it independently through an actual developer. And pretty much they have it. The main thing is making sure that your content, because their customer is the viewer, so your content must be viewable on all their different devices. They've been around since 2008, any of the legacy devices as well as their new ones. They make sure when you go live, before you even go live, they make sure your content and your videos are viewable on all those devices because that's who their clients are the viewers. Now that they have TV, they're making sure that you're viewable on all their Roku televisions, right? So their main thing is making sure you have the content that's viewable on that. Now, you have, up to you, you should do diligence making sure that you have the ownership and the right and authority to broadcast that content. I'm sure on some things, if you straight out copywriting things, they may have some algorithms to bounce things out. I know for myself, when people submit their content, I make sure they agree that they have rights to that, maybe music, audio, visual, whatever they have, the onus is on them to have rights. But outside of that, they don't require. You can have a private channel that's not live on the device if you want something that's not appropriate for them, but that's not, you have a small niche of people who's following you. if you want to be on the actual main Roku device that's live, you got to make sure that it's, you know, nothing raunchy, nothing over the top, murder and all that kind of stuff. But make sure, you know, it meets your brand and it fits their brand. But they don't have much requirement other than making sure that you adhere to the standards of FCC pretty much and making sure that it's quality content that's visible. And I've seen some channels that don't even have a good video viewers, I mean, in terms of quality, and they still allow it to go through. Really, they do.
Okay, I think because I'm looking it up, I think Facebook is a public server. I mean, it's a website, and then they got, I think it's private servers. If anybody knows anything about that, just press one and let's get some clearance on that. Because I was kind of surprised when they, Facebook put a ban on it. Well, I don't know. Everybody's been in Facebook jail at some time. So,
The times is changing now. Their feet are in the fire because of the fact that Facebook have had since for the longest time have had privacy issues. No matter what, how Mark Zuckerberg is now wanting to put a bow on it now. Like, you know, like now Tyson Chicken want to say we don't have any antibiotics or any type of GMO. You're saying that now, but what, 10 years ago, what was it? You had GMO then? But, you know, Facebook has had problems with privacy for a long time, and now they want to create this whole community of privacy. Everything about privacy, but Mark Zuckerberg, they got in trouble about sending your stuff to third parties and all these different things. So it's all think about, like, anything else, that's not your house. And they can do whatever someone comes to your house and they came in with dirty feet or smelly, whatever, you can kick them out. And this is Mark Zuckerberg's house. He can do whatever he want to do, and he in the back end, he may be, you know, don't know what he's doing. So people get surprised, you know, Louis Farrakhan's surprised. He shouldn't be surprised. It ain't his, you know. They can do whatever they want, as we already know. It's not the ownership is the person who owns it, who's paying for it every day. We are the people who are using it are the commodities on Facebook and these platforms. We just the commodity for them to earn more money at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So back in the day, if you go back to your ownership. So where's your ownership? Get your content, like YouTube. You're the commodity for YouTube. They can put whatever advertisement, like they did last year. They changed all their algorithms, and now you don't have a certain amount of viewerships and have a certain amount of subscribers. Now you can't even get any earnings off of YouTube. What kind of nonsense is that? But they can put ads on your videos. So now and then you got to get approval for them to, if you want to put your product placements on your within certain videos and stuff. So again, it goes like
they've got a super chat now, but I understand with super chat they take a percentage out of that too.
See? But most people are so used to having it. Okay, I want it to be free. I want it to be free, but you're doing it free and working hard at it to get a percentage. If you're working that hard to get a percentage, why not work that hard and get a sponsor, advertiser, and get all your money and have ownership
right.
of it? Because I have a friend of mine, channel, he was getting money from Google, from YouTube, left and right. Did something wrong on the channel, took the whole channel down, boom. I'm like, that was money he was making. That was the passive income. And couldn't figure out what he did. Then I had another friend. Now, he worked hard to get it back because he didn't know what he did, but he got it back. So you have somebody who all of a sudden can take you down and wipe you away, but yet because it's free, but yet the investment, if you did this and put a little network in, you can get like, okay, I can get a sponsor paying me $5,000 a month because I'm giving them X number of viewership across the platform on television in addition to their YouTube, whatever they're doing on YouTube or something. People got to go on that spectrum of how to look at this type of platform and how to say it's mine. And I think, again, you don't have to wait for somebody. Oh, why doesn't Oprah do this with the money? You can have your own black channel now. You ain't got to wait for anybody. And have sponsors
don't have
and advertisers all. Yeah, do whatever you want to do. Like you say, you can have anything you want on there that's going to provide value to other people and have fun with it and see what you can do with it. That's what it's all about.
That's true. That is true. I'm peeping stuff in already. Now, this was now you also worked at with 1380 or on 1380 in Atlanta. Oh, that's in Atlanta, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta. Yeah. 1380.
Mm-hmm. What kind of what's the form? I've heard of that station. What kind of format do they have?
I never worked at 1380, but I think it's pretty much like a it's a radio, and pretty much I think the independents can go and they give you airtime you can pay for and have your own show, I believe.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a what gospel format there or what?
It's a variety of, but it's pretty much wholesome stuff, but it's a variety of information, and some people have some type of spiritual stuff as well.
Okay, because prior to the internet and podcasts, hey, I always liked those type of stations, but then when people started to go online, a lot of those stations went dark or went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have some around, but but if they got a good loyal listenership, I guess they're worth looking at. So, all right, going back to creating our own channel.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we can monetize it ourselves by chopping it up and dividing the time and selling blocks of time and whatever else I guess we want to do with. Oh, the other question was this. Now, like with Netflix and Hulu, those are subscription-based. Now, how would your potential not listeners, viewers access this the same way they would have to subscribe to Roku?
Right. So with Roku, they would have this device, and then like anything with regular television, they would subscribe to either Fine TV or your channel. What we advise being that, you know, the Netflix and the Hulu are bigger, people are going to subscribe. But you want that reach. We don't subscribe. We don't have a subscription base because that defeats the purpose of having that barrier. We don't want to have a barrier for someone discovering a music artist based in Sweden or UK. So we don't do that because of the fact that it defeats the purpose of getting the content out and getting and expanding our reach. Because people, you know, haven't known or don't know how to find TV at that multitude. But people do
okay.
Some smaller independent ones do, and some of the larger ones do. So there's a lot of them that are all free. Subscribe and you get the content and you learn.
All right. Now, so then now your viewers can come in at with the 19. How much per month?
They can come in at 99. Well, viewers are free. But if you want to subscribe,
okay. They just need the device.
We don't charge our viewers to see. They come in, they see, iDefined TV, they see our subscription of what iDefined TV is about. Then they subscribe to our channel, and they land into our on our channel and watch the content and consume it. We don't charge our viewers anything.
Oh, great. All right, man. This is more very attractive. Very attractive. If anybody's got any questions, we're talking about optimized marketing, particularly with matter of fact, what would you call this type of TV? Is it Howard Stern? He's on satellite.
Mm-hmm.
So, internet television. They streaming on demand. What have they coined a term for this yet?
Yeah, multiple terms. It depends on people's vernacular, what they call it. People call it internet TV. People call it streaming. I like to call it streaming TV. One of the more technical terms is OTT, over the top. This is called because you're over the top, you guys have this device, over the top box that you plug in. But pretty much a streaming TV because you are streaming it, because you've got to have a Wi-Fi connection to stream it to get the content. Because you think about it, it's digital TV. Your cable is digital too, it's streaming as well. It's nothing really,
right.
Nothing dedicated anymore. But we just going on to Monday, we are, it's a back door. So everything is streaming now, but they just look at this differently, you know, so streaming TV, you know, but I think it's more streaming because it's streaming on a different platform than cable. And you know, there's a monthly fee to have it. You go pay, you go to, you can go to Best Buy or Walmart, or whatever. You can go online and order it for a little $24 and you pay for it and that's it. You plug it up and you're good to go. And you have, if you can get one that's $99, they have some different models do different things. So it's as little as $24 or something like that, as much as $100 and some odd, depends on what you want the thing to do. Some talk, you can talk into it and find your stuff, and it has an app thing. It's a lot of different little things you can do with it. But it's really a streaming platform.
All right. Okay. If anybody's got any questions about iDefiant TV, Roku, and we're speaking with C.F. Jackson today. The number is 619-768-2945. Just press 1 when you're ready to patch in. Now, what type of we'll see, what's the question? Are a lot of small entrepreneurs taking advantage of this opportunity?
They are, but not as much, not as many as it should be. There are a lot of independent channels on there. I see a lot of great content on there. But to the fact that so many people I talk to, they say, oh, I have one of those. I never thought about it. And when I first learned about it in 2013, it's been a while. In 2013, yeah, so maybe longer than that, 2003. I was pretty much like, Roku, I never heard of that before. So being a smart person that I thought I was, I go and search this whole streaming thing. Well, I've heard of Sony. So that's a household international name. So I went and bought me a Sony one. Sony has one as well. So I knew about Sony, but Sony, you don't hear Sony name in terms of being a popular one. And then it came to me that I was one of the ones that people I was consuming content, and it brought to my attention that I could be consumed. And then, again, it went back to Roku. So they're like, 6 months later, what did I have to go do? I went back to buy a Roku. And that's the one that's the leader in this whole game. But a lot of people I speak to say, well, I have one. I have two. I have an Apple. I have this. But no one thinks, because their mind is still thinking that you have to be super rich or wealthy to get on this device. And that's the thing. They rather be consuming stuff, but they're thinking, how can I get on here? They don't think that. Or a lot of people still aren't savvy with the thing. They just go to two channels. I have a cousin. I got her to get the darn thing. And the only thing she knew for the longest time is how to go to Netflix. Every time I go down to Florida, I had to show her how to really use the thing. Like, you know you can do more than Netflix on here, right? Oh, my gosh. Oh my. And she gets excited that she can do a lot more with it. And this thing. So it's a learning curve for people to get stuck with just thinking of Netflix or Hulu or things like that. So, but once they understand that there are channels that's suited for or made by people just like them, then their mind are blown. Like, you know, you think, like, I never thought about this thing. And once it starts continuing to grow, it's going to be expansive. It's going to be really mind-blowing. It's the way TV is.
Right. Now, when it comes to production, because you have a lot of entrepreneurs. Matter of fact, a lot of small entrepreneurs don't think that for some reason don't spend money on advertising or money on promoting their business. Could you share with us, at least from your point of view, the value of investing in promotion to increase your profits?
It's a must. I mean, it's like, here's a scenario I use. Would McDonald's be where it is today if they only did one paper advertisement and it didn't work? It's an ongoing process. Would BMW be where they were if they only did one radio ad and think it didn't work? It's an ongoing, it's about building your brand, become to where it's constantly in their face. When they come to when they're ready to take action, that brand, that loyalty, that sense of information that you shared with them, it's somewhere in their mind where you're out beating the competition because you are saturating their mind, their presence, their place with information. And most times people think it's that, you know, you do one thing and it didn't work, or you do a couple of videos and it doesn't work. It's an ongoing process. I talked to somebody yesterday, and he decided about creating his channel for his ministry. And he understands for a church, you have to be available all the time. It's not like you just got to do wait for Sunday and then think people are going to come. Well, somebody may need to have the word on Tuesday or Thursday. Can't wait to Sunday. And then if they get it on television or get it on social media or wherever it may be, then they're more likely to do what? Know, like, and trust you and do what? Start to come to either with the church, maybe tie with them, give offerings or come in as a business, promote you, share with you. If it's not for them, a good fit for them, they're going to talk about you to somebody else. It's not for me, but I know I know Tamika can use that. You know, it's ongoing. If you're not, if you're out of sight, then you're out of their mind. So you got to think of, and you don't have to always go big. Think of something simple. And one of the simple things I share, I have a master class of how to get TV ready and 3E step, is doing video. It's pretty much positioning yourself as that expert and authority. I said it before. Creating some bite-sized videos where you there's so many problems you create with your business, so many problems you solve with your business. If you're able to do 8 to 10 videos on 8 to 10 problems that you solve with your business and dissect and go detail, like this is one problem that I solve, and this problem creates this many problems for this person, and it's a solution, and do that for on 8 to 10 videos, that's more valuable than just being on Facebook and sending a graphic or sending a text message. Because even now I'm recognizing that you're an expert and authority, but most people are timid and fearful of getting in front of the camera. You ain't got to be perfect, but the camera got to be looking right. Don't have a cat running behind you, kid crying, or you having all something you know crazy. Find a good place in your house. Find a place where you can get some good lighting. If you're using a smartphone, make sure it's HD. Turn the phone to the side. You want to make sure it's widescreen, just like your TV is, like your computer is. Everything is widescreen now. And have great audio, great lighting. Put the light in front of you, not behind you. And create content. Commit to yourself. I'm going to do a video, do a live video or something to put yourself out there on a regular basis. And it's just talk about content and show yourself as that expert. And really, yeah, it's that simple. And then you get better and better and better with it. Then you say, okay, I want to get a videographer to come in and do some videos, and I want to get it on maybe on a Roku or do some more expansive things with your content. But that's the same thing. Your marketing starts with you, your mouth, sharing what it is that you do and investing in it. If you do some Facebook ads, that's great. Twitter, that's great. Instagram is great as well. I love Instagram. But find some different ways to get focus on one platform and go all in.
You know, I haven't figured out Instagram yet because I've heard of people. I mean, some lady I know, her daughter, who's a hairstylist, mm-hmm. she gets a bunch of clients through what do you call it, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So, because what because Instagram, you only allowed to do. Those are like short little videos.
Yeah, you do videos and images. But now they got Instagram TV, so you can do longer videos. They're expanding a lot of things. I'm no pro at it as yet, but it's a lot more, you can really, I say hijack it because you have the hashtags you can use. It's really it's more simple than Facebook. Facebook has so much nuances to where, you know, if you have 3,000 people who follow you on Facebook, only a small percentage of people actually see your post. I'm really trying to get more clarity on, I think Twitter has more of a true organic reach and to give you your ability to reach more people than all the platforms because it seems like I can get more impressions with the Twitter than I am with all of them, but Instagram is second because you can really tap into because people love those hashtags. I can have few viewers or few followers, but I can reach 100 likes by utilizing the right hashtags and get people to recognize my content compared to Facebook. You're fighting unless you're really knowing how to do it. So it's really this social media stuff. You got to really hone on into them and really know which one you want to sit on and where your target market is and learn it. There's a difference between how it was 10, 15 years ago. MySpace wasn't that hard. It was the simplest thing in the world. You liked people. You became friends. You market to them. You talk with them. You connect with them. It was a simple thing. But now there's a whole other world now. You got to take some classes and learn the thing. It changes next week, and it's kind of like you got to hire somebody to do the hiring to do the hiring, you know. So it's a different world compared to MySpace world.
That's true. Well, now let's go to – because you're right. You got to prior to the Internet, if I did, like, Black AM Gospel Radio when nobody had computers or fax machines, that was a pure gold mine. I can do 15 minutes and 15 minutes, you got to follow me. Anybody could have did 15 minutes, mm-hmm. you got to follow me. That doesn't exist anymore unless you're on a – and another thing with radio is you can focus in on a local geographical market. Now, mm-hmm. with social media, people are all – I mean, you've got people that listen to this podcast. They can be in Russia, Southeast Asia, mm-hmm. Uganda, and Alaska. And throw in Rio
right.
de Janeiro, too. But you're not in all those – at least I'm not in all – I mean, physically in all those places. So, like, using Roku – I define TV. How could, because you're going to get that effect too, you're going to have people viewing from all over mm-hmm. places. Is there any way that you can focus in on a geographical area? Specific geographical area. Let's say if I'm interested in developing a viewership base in, let's say, Chicago. Is that mm-hmm. possible?
Well, to say if you want to do more and get more attention that way, Roku does allow you to do some geo-targeting advertising through its platform. So, for example, on the mainstream on Roku, there's, like, for example, a section where you have a creative. And that creative allows you to do something creative. You know, it's an image. And, say, for example, you were talking about gentrification, learn about gentrification in Chicago, for example, or watch the ins and outs, something catchy, whatever, or watch this show. And it can use their remote control to actually, it can target those who are in that area, who's into news, who is in Chicago, by city, the whole state, and at that place where they now, whenever those people are in that area, they will see that actual advertisement to learn more, to watch more, and when they use the remote control to watch more, it takes them straight to your channel to watch more. It's straight to your channel to subscribe to your channel, and that way you can geo-target a specific area, specific lights, and specific cities, and get more viewership to grow in that retrospect, and get more viewership. Now that is again a traditional price point because it's advertising utilizing all the demographics of those users in that specific city or state or that region, utilizing Roku all of the users.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up on this segment because, like I said, you were in here on Monday. We were in here Monday for over 2 hours, and you've given us another hour today. So, once again, for people that are interested in Roku or anything that you've mentioned when it comes to optimized marketing using television, how can they reach you or go to your website?
They can find, again, you can find us at idefinetv.com. Again, it's www.idefinetv.com. Have any questions, you can give us a call at 678-636-9422. Again, that's 678-636-9422 if they're here in Atlanta. Any questions, any thoughts or ideas, just let us know. Nothing seems too difficult, so simple. We're here to help. To educate. That's my mission, to help as many people learn, entrepreneurs learn that this is waiting for us to really take advantage of, because a lot of people just aren't taking advantage of it. And I advise you to go out, do some research, get some information and pass it on and discuss it and see what you can do and really expand your reach and think about how it's attainable to reach a demographic of people who are sitting at home in front of their TVs and their family rooms wanting to learn more about you. Because not everybody's going to be on YouTube at this time. Not everybody's going to be on Facebook. We're everywhere. So why not? I mean, one last thing, Mark Cuban's the first, the Mavericks is the first NBA team to have their actual own Roku channel because he recognized he wants to be everywhere his fans are.
Okay, Chef. Well, thank you once again for coming on today. And people interested in getting in contact with Chef, you just follow through on the information she's given you, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. right. Well, it's we did about a little bit over an hour today on It's My House with Chef Jackson. The topic was optimized marketing, and I got some ads running, and people are starting to call me. So I'm going to cut short today by – well, actually, there's no cut short because It's My House. We can be on for 2 minutes or 2 hours. There's no set time. So that's all for today. I got to fill these calls from these online people calling me back on these ads I'm running. So on that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.
Jiffy Lube, we car about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking care of business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.